an increasing amount of students kind of find themselves in this period of limbo after they graduate, not really knowing what they want to do. And I think Corinne Kenny has figured it out, and we're going to learn about it in this interview. Corinne is now a graduate assistant at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. She studied abroad in Spain, and she came home, and then she went back to Spain to teach English. And it's just this perfect little magical time in her life. I say this in the interview too. I wish I would have done something like this immediately after I graduated. But I'm going to let Corinne tell her story. She can do it better than I can. Enjoy this one. Thanks.
The three biggest reasons only 10% of students study abroad. They're afraid of being homesick, they don't think it's safe, and the number one reason people don't study abroad is cost. We're here to dispel all that. Find out exactly how that 10% crafted their study abroad journey and how you can too. I'm Chris Carlton, and this is the Study Abroadcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Study Abroadcast. I am here with Corinne Kenny from University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. She is both a student and an employee there. Corinne, thank you very much for being here. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you studied abroad, like a lot of people, in Spain.
I did.
Yeah, tell us about that. Why did you choose to study abroad in Spain?
So I went to Winona State University for my undergrad, and I started taking Spanish classes my freshman year. And at first, I hated it. It was really hard. But then somehow I developed a passion for the language, and one of my professors mentioned a study abroad trip that was going to Granada, Spain, which is in the south of Spain. It's kind of towards the Mediterranean coast. And I kind of waited too long. I went my senior year, and it just kind of happened that that's where I was going to go, and I was going to finish my major over there and take the rest of my Spanish classes, and I was just obsessed with it. Spain kind of became my life.
Yeah. And how long were you over there for?
I studied abroad there for 5 months, my fall semester, and I actually ended up moving back over there after I graduated.
Perfect.
So a total of like a year and a half.
Nice. Wow. Okay. So wait, how you said you moved there after you graduated?
I did. So I graduated with a bachelor's in Spanish, and I had no idea what I was going to do with that. That career isn't really a career. So my advisor had suggested this program where I could go teach English in Spain for a year. And so that's what I decided to do. And I went right after graduation, and I moved to Madrid, Spain.
Okay. So you've been all over Spain,
Spaniard.
And how's your Spanish then?
When I first went over there during my undergrad, I thought that I had a pretty good level, and I got there and I just had no idea what people were saying to me, and I was like, what language have I been studying? It just didn't even seem like I had been studying Spanish. So the first 2 weeks were really hard, and I could not converse with my host family, my roommates, my teachers, and then it just kind of clicked, and it started, I started being able to understand, and then I started being able to speak it a little bit better. So studying abroad was like the chance for me to really understand the language. I would say when I left Spain, I was at like an intermediate level. Then when I moved back, I became a little bit more fluent.
Right. It's like, I mean, anywhere, like the longer you spend, the better you're going to get, right?
And living with a host family was the best opportunity for that, because they didn't speak any English. So I had to find a way to talk to them. So it really pushed me out of my comfort zone to speak to them in that language, which was really scary and really hard at first. But now I still talk to my host family like once a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
When I moved back to Spain, I went and visited them every couple months too. So that was really nice having like a family there.
And where did you, when you moved back to Spain, where did you live? Did you live in like an apartment?
I did. When I moved there to teach English, a girl that I had met when I studied abroad, we actually did this program together. So we moved there together and we found an apartment and lived near our schools that
okay.
we were.
Yeah, so teaching English is, I mean, maybe we can get into that part of it too, and kind of do a like two-pronged interview.
Sure.
But yeah, I'll ask questions for both, because I mean, one thing, and we talked about this a little bit before the interview, but like people that study abroad, and I'm one of them, and you are too now, they tend to like stick around and are involved with it. And yeah, like anyone that's obviously in it did it. So, and teaching English is a big, I mean, it's a serious, it's a way to strengthen your resume after school, and it's a way to, it's something to do if you don't really know if you want to go to graduate school
Right.
or whatever. So I'm sure a lot of students are interested in that. But so with your homestay the first time around, what program did you do, or how did you go about studying abroad? You went into your advisor's office and you decided on Spain because of the language. So like what path did you take?
So originally I was like, I want to go to Madrid or Barcelona, one of the big cities. I had never heard of Granada before. But my advisor was like, we have a really great intensive summer program that so you go in the summer and study the language and then you start your classes like a regular semester. So that's what I opted to do so I could have just a little bit more time learning the language before classes started. And the program was called SOL, Study Abroad, SOL. And it's a program, it's a provider program based out of Texas, and they have an advisor and like staff support members that are actually living in Granada, Spain. And so it's students from all over the US that go through this provider. I actually had quite a few people from Winona going with me that I knew that I had Spanish classes with. So that made my comfort going over there a little bit better. So that was a really good choice for me. But I was really nervous because I had never heard of Granada and I was kind of disappointed because I really wanted to go to Barcelona or Madrid or one of the big cities. But when I got there, I just fell in love with it. Granada is about the size of Madison, so it's a nice, you can kind of feel like a local once you get used to it, which really was so nice. It felt like home to me. So it was a good choice going there.
So every interview I learn something new and I uncover something or some kind of theme that I've realized we've been talking about the entire time. And you said it's about the size of Madison, but I'm on images right now and I'm looking at it and it doesn't look like Madison, Wisconsin by any means. I mean, so there's so I feel like there's so many cities like this around the world that are about this size that no one has ever heard of, but are absolutely like gorgeous. I mean, just looking at this, I mean, I'm sure people will Google it or something, but it looks like something like in a Shakespeare, like
Unreal.
that's the setting. Yeah.
It is just like it's magical. As soon as I got off the plane, I was like, oh my God, I love this place. I never want to leave. And I actually now in my job try to convince students to go there all the time. It just is, I mean, most people have never heard of it. And once you get there, it's just the people there are so amazing. They're so nice. They're so friendly. And just the city is, it's safe and it's easy to walk through. You can navigate it really well. And like I said, it is the size of Madison, but it's just so spread out. And there's so many little different neighborhoods with different themes around the city. It's just really, it's so awesome. I'm looking at pictures now too, and I like I'm getting really nostalgic.
And then, so you said you lived with the host family, which obviously, if anyone's looking to language learn, it's kind of a no-brainer by this point. If you've been listening to any of the other episodes, but you should definitely live with a host family if you are a language learner. I know I just said that, but did you have any other roommates, or was it just you with the family?
I did. I had a roommate from Texas actually, and we shared a really small bedroom that was even smaller than a dorm room. Our single beds were inches apart from each other. And I had no idea, I didn't know her before I went over there. So, but now she's one of my best friends and we still stay in contact. So that was a really nice way to adjust to having someone going through the same thing that I was going through.
And so can you tell me about the classes, or like just what an average day was like in Granada? How far away was the campus? Was it all international kids? Was it American kids? Tell me, was it all Spanish classes?
So I did take all Spanish classes. I went there to finish my Spanish major. So like I said, I went about a month early before the regular semester started, and I took an intensive language course. So we met for about 4 hours every day for 4 days a week for about a month, and it was just 1 3-credit course, and it was just to like kind of get ourselves up to speed in the language. And then once the semester started, we took a language competency class to just see what level we were at. And then we were placed into different classes based on our levels. My level was way lower than I thought it was going to be, because it was a lot harder once you're actually immersed there. Then my classes, I took like a grammar class, a speaking class, a conversation class, and then I took a literature course as well. And then I also decided to take a course that was more like an internship, but I got credit for it, where I was working in a high school in the city where I was a language assistant. So I just went and helped in some of their courses at a bilingual school just to help with pronunciation and reading. And I did that for about 5 hours a week every week.
Okay.
Which was kind of the reason that I decided to teach abroad afterwards. So that was like my first experience with being in a school like that and teaching. And so that kind of developed my passion there. But we learned a lot about the Spanish education system before and just like teaching styles. So it was kind of an intensive course before starting to teach as well.
Yeah, no, it's you found something.
Yeah,
which is perfect.
It was really last minute. I didn't even know that was a course that they offered until somebody that worked in my provider program mentioned that we could do that, and I was like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I got course credit to volunteer, and it was a really great opportunity.
Sure. No. Yeah. Definitely. And then so what was I? Sometimes I ask this. Did they take siestas there?
Yeah, and I miss that lifestyle so much. So mm-hmm. The whole town pretty much shuts down. And I know not all of Spain does this, but the smaller towns, I mean, when I say that the whole town shuts down, it really does. Like every store, every restaurant, everyone goes home. Lunch is like their main meal over there. So everyone goes home and you have lunch as a family. And then you take a nap afterwards. Even my school shut down, so we would go home, have lunch, and then classes started back up around like 4 or 5. It was a really great. I miss that so much. I wish we did that here.
Wait, 4 or 5 until when then?
So classes would start back up at 4 or 5. So lunch was usually at like 1 or 2. Oops.
Okay.
And so it was a couple of a break. It was really nice.
Okay, I see. And. This is a good interview. And so now I guess we can combine both the times, but can you tell me, I'm sure you got to explore other parts of Europe.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about where else you got to go?
Wow. I always mix the two times up. I can't remember when I went where, but when I was studying abroad, my friends and I traveled almost every week. Weekend, whether it was just around our like outside of our town or around Spain, but we also went all around Europe. I went to Ireland, I went to Portugal, Morocco, and then I actually have family that live in Norway, and so we had like a winter break, and so I went and stayed with my family in Norway that I had never met before for about 7 days, mm-hmm. which was amazing. And other than that, we just traveled around Spain. So those times I did that. And then when I lived abroad, I was there for about a year. So I had a lot of opportunity to travel. And I went all over Europe then.
Okay. And awesome. And then let's see. What is there a funny travel story that happened that you want to share either of the trips?
Yeah. So when I was studying abroad, it was my fall semester. So I was missing Thanksgiving for the first time. And so my provider program put on a really nice Thanksgiving dinner for us and kind of treated us like we were at home. I remember the one thing that we all really wanted was mashed potatoes, because that's not a thing in Spain. Mm-hmm. And so they found a restaurant that could make mashed potatoes for us.
Oh, wow.
Which was really fun. But anyway, that's not the story. But we all decided to stay together and go out for little words afterwards. And the next day I was going to Ireland with some of my friends. And our flight was at like 6 a.m. and we had to take a bus to Madrid first before that 6 a.m. flight. And we missed our bus, we missed our flight, and we were just like running all over Spain trying to find a way to get to Ireland because we had all these tickets to different things in Ireland. And so we were like, we have to go there. We were meeting other people from London. And so I think that's just like kind of something that happens to everyone, that you end up missing a flight or you miss a train. And I think if that happened here, you would be just so panicked and like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? But when you're abroad, everything is just kind of like, well, whatever happens, whatever, you know, you just find a way to make things work and make things fun. And we ended up getting there. We missed an entire day and missed half of our things, but it was still like the best trip I ever took.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. It's funny. Everyone's horror story ends up being like their favorite story too when traveling for some reason. And so now let's see. So for Spain and then I guess the field. So like for every other place you visited, was there a certain food that you miss that you wish you could get out in La Crosse or back here in Wisconsin that you can't?
Yeah. Just this. Spanish tapas are like, that's like a lifestyle there. So you order any kind of drink. You can order a Coke or a lemonade or a glass of wine, and you get an entire plate of food for free with it. It's like a whole appetizer. What? Yeah, it's amazing. And so that's why, like, that's like their lifestyle. People will say, do you want to go get a drink? And really it means like, do you want to have dinner? Because you get all of this free food. And so they have all of these like the most amazing foods you can imagine. So they have this one was my favorite dish. It's fried eggplant and they put honey all over it, and I at first was like really grossed out by it, but it ended up being my favorite food. My host mom used to make it for me all the time, and I crave it all the time here, but I have no idea how to make it, or I don't even know if I could. I would probably screw it up. But
you said it's fried eggplant?
Yeah, and it's with honey all over it, which sounds like just really like a weird mixture, but it was so good.
I'll try to look it up or something.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And then they do, like, all their little plates are so good. Like, they have another thing that was kind of like something odd. They would just give you like a plate of mushrooms, which I was so grossed out by. And now that's another one of my favorite foods. So just like that was something that really struck me. It was that I tried everything there and I ended up loving everything. I was a really picky eater and now I'll eat pretty much anything.
Good. Yeah. So that's another plus, was widened your palate, huh?
Yeah.
Or expanded your palate. Okay, and then so since you've returned home, and you got to go twice, it obviously you got back. First of all, you said you went for a year the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the Madrid trip then. Was it just kind of like a job that you had, like a 9-to-5? Well, I know not 9-to-5, but was it about that? And so tell me about the teaching English. How did you sign up for that? What did you do in order to get enrolled? Everything.
So when I got back from studying abroad, like I said, it was my senior year. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm graduating in a semester and I have no idea what my life is going to look like. And I was really kind of freaking out. My parents were like really breathing down my neck about it. And I went to talk to my advisor and she mentioned this program. It's called CIEE. Mm-hmm. And they're also a study abroad provider, but they do teaching abroad opportunities as well. And she gave me a flyer for it. And she was like, this could be a really great opportunity for you since you're not sure what next year is going to look like for you. And so I just on a whim applied for it.
Okay.
And I got accepted. And so all you have to do is you take teaching English as a foreign language. So it's a TEFL class. And so you're teaching English as a foreign language certified. And then that's pretty much it. It was an online class that I took. And it just kind of gets you ready to how to use your English teaching foreign languages as a foreign language. So that was something that I was really nervous about. And I was really hesitant on going over there, but just because I was moving there, like it wasn't studying abroad. I didn't have a family to be with. I didn't have a provider program giving me excursions on the weekends. I just, I was going for 11 months on my own. But so I went over there and it wasn't a 9-to-5 job. You work 20 hours a week because you're kind of over. I kind of went over there because I wanted to travel more and I wanted to be in the Spanish culture more. So I kind of got to make my hours. I worked 4 days a week so I could choose when I wanted to come in. I just had to work it out with the teachers. So I ended up teaching three different classes. I worked with a first grade, I worked with a second grade, and then I worked with a fifth grade. So I would spend 1 day with each of those classes each week. Oh, and then I was in a gym class, which was so weird. And I pretty much just taught them games that we would play here in the States, which are so different than the games that they would play there, which you wouldn't think would be that different. But so it's a bilingual elementary school. So even in like the first grade, they teach their students science and history in English, like completely in English. And then their other classes are in Spanish.
Right. So it's different. It's not like us taking a Spanish class here.
They're
a lot better.
Textbooks are in English. They don't even learn the information in Spanish, which is weird. So I was either teaching science or history to the students, which was fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that does sound
fun. I don't know if this is appropriate to say, but I had to teach sex ed to the fifth graders in English.
Ooh, yeah, fifth grade too, huh?
So
awkward.
Yeah.
Did you get paid for this at all?
I did, but it wasn't really, I didn't save any money. It was pretty much enough to pay my rent and travel.
That's perfect. I wish I could still do that now.
Right. And luckily I didn't have student loans, so I had the opportunity that I could do that. But also it's a nonprofit organization. So when you do that, you can defer your student loans for a year. So some of my class, co-workers did that, and so we didn't have to stress about saving every cent, so we could go travel.
Right. I forgot to ask you too, your first time around, and I don't even know about this time, but were you able to apply for or receive any scholarships or grants?
I did not apply for scholarships actually. And look, I wish I would have, but I don't know, the study abroad office at Winona, I don't know if I just am not remembering correctly because it was a while ago. They weren't super helpful because now I'm working in the study abroad office and we talk about this every day with every student we meet, and I wish that somebody would have done that with me.
Aw. Sorry, Winona.
Yeah.
It sounded like they were based on what you said, but okay. Yeah. But lacrosse goes above and beyond, huh?
We really make sure that they know every opportunity that they have, which is really great.
Yeah. Okay. And, so now moving on to kind of like a more rapid fire section of the podcast, do you have any book recommendations?
Oh boy, like travel books?
Doesn't have to be travel. It can be anything.
Anything. One book that I read, it's called The Hate You Give. As I know they made it into a movie, but it's just really important to read about different populations, I think.
Okay. And any recommendations as far as like a podcast or a blog or an app that you really like?
I don't normally listen to podcasts. I should start. Maybe I'll start with yours, so I'll recommend that one.
It can even be a Corinne. It can even be like a TV show on Netflix. Like anything Corinne, anything from Corinne world.
I am pretty heavy on Instagram, so I follow a lot of different travel blogs. So there's one called Passion Pass. Or something, and it just posts different, they take pictures that you send in and they post them, and they're really beautiful, and it often like doesn't show the super glamorous sides of travel. It talks about hardships that people have over there, and so I really liked that.
Right.
So that's what I recommend.
Okay. And let's see here. So finally, what advice, I mean, we started the interview off like this, and you're basically a peer advisor to students that are coming in. What do you tell them when you get one in the office that's like, I don't really know, or like, I don't think it's worth it? What do you tell them?
So what I tell every student is that I've never had a student come back saying that they regret studying abroad, but I have met with multiple students saying that they regret not going abroad.
Ooh.
So that's super important to keep in mind. I mean, even though studying abroad, it's not always like super glamorous and not everything is super easy, but you'll never come back being like, wow, that was the worst time of my life. And even if there were experiences that were bad, like they definitely make you ready for jobs and the real world. And so they really make you super independent. And so I just think it's a really like character building time.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And then finally, do you have a quote you want to share?
I do. So I remember I traveled to Morocco one weekend, and it was a really life-changing trip. And I found this quote, and it says, "I am not the same having seen the moon shine on the other side of the world." And I think that that is like super important for other people to think about, is that I think in the States, we often are kind of in a little bit of a bubble and don't really realize how different things are in other places. And so ever since going abroad, it really expanded my mindset and my cultural humility.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And yeah, that's all I have, Corinne. Is there anything else you want to add? You covered a lot in there. Granada, I think, is this place is beautiful, and
yeah,
then Spain in general, but, and then just the fact, the English thing too, just being able to just kind of backpack it. And that's kind of the dream. I wish I would have done that, seriously, but.
And see, that's like something that almost everybody says, like, I wish I would have done that. So that would just be my piece of advice, to just do it, especially when you're in college. This is like the one chance that you really can do it.
So wait, so you said you went the first time you went your fall or no, you went summer.
No, my fall semester of my senior year. Yep.
Okay. I was going to say, it would have been crazy if you would have figured it out your spring semester, like if you went your spring semester and then like not even came home, and then you could have saved yourself the flight, and I don't know, that just would have been,
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Corinne Kinney, everyone, let us know how we're doing on the reviews of the show. Please connect on social media for new interviews. There's a ton of stuff for you to do on the website. Corinne, thank you very much for doing this, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. Bye. All right. That was really good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to check out all the really neat infographics on the rest of the posts, as well as the interviews. There's a lot of good information. You should also download Studying Abroad 201. I really recommend it if you need kind of a fire lit under your ass for studying abroad and you need some motivation. It crafts my journey and exactly what I did. Also, we can email you new interviews, or you can connect with us on social media. All right, thanks a lot.